transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otobill. And now, today's word.
We gather alongside our partners. It's not one man chop all. It's not one woman chop all. Many of the things that God blesses us with are more than we can carry. He gives so much to us that we need other people to help us bring in all that God has blessed us with. Luke chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. Peter had an abundant harvest, a great gathering, a great catch. The net began to break, and he signaled to his partners. Many times God blesses us in a way that other people must participate in our blessing. And when you ask people to come and support you in your gathering, you have to learn to share the rewards with them. For all of you who always ask for help but never reward, you always ask people, oh, Charlie, can I help? Charlie, you know, come and help me. And then the things work for you, and then you turn your back on the people. If you can let them share in labor with you, they are your partners, you must share the reward with them. If you employ people in your office and they help you to do well in the business, you have to share rewards with them. Doesn't mean you're going to pay them equally, but you have to be mindful that without their help, I wouldn't be where I am, and they must receive reward that expresses the level of the help that they have given to me. We gather alongside our partners. When you're married, you gather together as husband and wife. If you're in a business, you gather together with your co-workers. When God opens a big door for you, don't be so selfish that you want to keep it all yourself, so you don't tell anybody. You keep it all to yourself. And then you realize you don't have the resources. If you get a very big contract, you may realize your profession is not all that you need. You need other professionals. You need other consultants. You need people to come and help you to do the finances, the financial forecast for you. You need people to come and do some technical work for you. You need people to come and do human resource for you. You need people to come and do all kinds of things for you. If you are a selfish person, God will bless you with so much, but you always destroy it because you want to chop everything all by yourself. And when you want people to work for you, you pay them peanuts. So you're always going to attract low-level performers who don't know how to get the job done, because there are big corporations or big people with big access, but all the people around them are weak because they don't want to pay well. When God causes you to gather, you have to be like Peter, signal to your partners. Say, come help us. God has blessed us. Help us to get this job done. We gather alongside our partners. Number five, we gather with discernment. We gather with discernment. Matthew chapter 13, verse 47 to 48. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. Now, I want you to get the picture that Jesus is painting here. It's like those who go to the sea and cast their nets. In Ghana, they call it chani. They cast the net deep in the sea, and then they pull the net, and they gather. The net brings in all kinds of things. In this day and age, it brings in all kinds of stuff, and especially if it's a Ghanaian beach, there will be stuff you don't want to see. Jesus is saying when you gather, you're going to find out that you don't always gather what you want. Even when it is fish, there may be dead fish. There may be other kinds of fish that you don't want. But in Ghana, it will include chalewote, the right foot of a chalewote. and all kinds of things, and rubber bags and all of that. They're all in your net. You've gathered all. Then you don't say, because I gathered, I'm going to use everything. Because sometimes in gathering, you bring in stuff you don't need. And so Jesus says, you sit down and you sort them out. The things you need, you put in one area. Things you don't need, you put in another area. What does that mean? It means that many times as we pray, as we go on, God brings so many things our way, or we encounter so many things in our lives, but not everything that comes our way is right. Sometimes even in contracts, not every contract is supposed to be taken by you. Not every opportunity must be seized. Not everybody must be in your net. Some people come to your net, but you must release them, because this one is not for me. So if you are desiring God to bless you, and he's bringing all kinds of people, and all kinds of men are coming into your life, all kinds of women are coming into your life, you have to check. Which one is a left-footed chalewote who doesn't belong to this net? And move them out. Not every relationship is for you. Not every friend is your friend. Not every opportunity is right. Sometimes as a Christian, you'll be confronted with opportunities that are totally in conflict with your faith. And you have to determine whether you keep that or you let it go. There are people going to come your way. You say, Lord, I need a helper. I need a helper. Somebody's husband comes to you, lady. And not only does he want to help you, but he wants to help himself. You have to determine, is this something I need in my net? Yes, it came into my net. I prayed and it happened. But is it from God? Just because you prayed and something happened does not mean God brought it to you. Because the devil can also show up. You remember in the book of Job, the Bible says the sons of God were gathered and good old Satan also showed up. And God says, where have you been? He says, I've been going up and down. I like him. I go up and down. I'm checking people out. And sometimes when you pray, something may come your way that is not from God. It may even happen right after fasting and prayer. You remember when Jesus fasted and prayed, the first voice he heard, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. Is that from God? He has to know, not everything I gather is from God. Some I must cast away, some I must keep. May God give you discernment in your time of gathering to know what must stay in your net and what must not stay in your net. Number six, we gather in the presence of our enemies. This is a big one. Many times we wish that when it's time for us to reap our great harvest, everything will be nice around us. That's far from the truth. Luke chapter 10, verse 2 and 3. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great. The laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the field. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Jesus says to his disciples, I'm sending you to the harvest. You are lambs, but in the harvest, you're going to find wolves. There will always be wolves in your harvest field. There is danger in the blessing of God. There will be enemies around your table of blessing. But that should not stop you from possessing your harvest. And don't say, there's a lion in the street, so I'm not going to go out. God says he will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Sometimes your greatest opportunity and breakthrough is going to bring you your greatest enemies. And you're going to find people fighting you over your blessing. Sometimes God opens a door for you and somebody far more endowed than you is chasing the same blessing. Don't leave it for them. God says he'll bless you in the presence of your enemies. You need some enemies present to observe the blessing of God. There will be wolves in your harvest field, and you will be a lamb. A lamb eats grass. Wolves eat lambs. It's a battle of inequality. A lamb cannot fight a wolf. And God says, I'm going to send you into places where you're going to face enemies that are so big you think you cannot fight them. But in the midst of that, I will still give you the harvest. In the midst of that, he will prepare a table before you. There will be enemies in your life. Sometimes there are enemies you don't even know. The enemies you know are the good ones. Enemies you know very good, because there you can prepare for them. Enemies you don't even know exist. You start a business, and you're praying, God, make my business prosper. But the prosperity of your business will require the customers from somebody who have to move to you. And you think the person will fold their arms and say, oh, God bless you. Take my customers. Take my business. It will be well with you. A double portion. No. What you pray for that God is blessing with you with may cost somebody else. And that person will be a wolf. And they will do everything to destroy you. Don't run from a harvest field because wolves appeared. Don't run from a harvest field because enemies showed up. Enemies must show up. People will come against you. People will fight you. But you stay in the field. If it's a field God put you there, stay there. Because if he's sending you as lambs amongst wolves, and you don't have the capacity to fight wolves, then guess who will do the fighting? The shepherd of the lamb. The shepherd of the lamb. Because this is a battle you can't fight. So you go out there and say, Lord, I can do it. He says, stay there, because I'm still here with you. It's enemy territory, but I'm with you. Most of you who work in the corporate world know when you get promoted in the corporate world, you enter danger zone. The political zone where dog eat dog, undermining. People are setting you up for failure. They smile with you at the conference table, and then they scheme that you fail because your success is costing them their stability. Now, don't get so afraid of that world. God puts you into that world, he'll protect you into that world. Because your gathering will bring you in contact with enemies. And last, but certainly not the least, number 7, we gather with joy. Isaiah 9, verse 3. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. When we're dividing the spoil, when it's harvest time, when it's gathering time, God says, be joyful. Be joyful. Be happy. Be glad. Now, being joyful doesn't mean that everything is peaceful. Nobody hates you. Nobody dislikes you. Being joyful doesn't mean that there are no problems, but being joyful is being at peace in your heart, knowing that God is with you. That God is with you. Don't go through your harvest field complaining about, life is so hard, life is so hard. Life is so difficult. Yes. What were you expecting? That's why when every child comes into this world, they cry, because life is hard. You know, right from birth, you know, hey, this is enemy territory. Who told you life was easy? Who told you it's going to be easy? God helps us, but it's not easy. It's a tough road. Life is hard. Running a marriage is hard. Raising children is hard. Running a business is hard. Raising a church is hard. Doing everything is hard. I'm yet to find anything that is not hard to do in this world. Being a carpenter is hard. Being a tailor is hard, especially in Ghana. Being a tailor is hard. Being a welder is hard. Being a singer is hard. Being a man is hard. Being a woman is hard. Everything is hard. Tell me something that is not hard. But we enter life, although it's hard, we enter joyfully. We have a good attitude. We have a positive attitude. We are excited about life. We are excited about opportunities. We are excited about next week and a new day. So as you go to work from Monday, be excited. The landlord will come. Be excited. There's conspiracy. Be excited. There are wolves. Be excited. Because that is life. And in your harvest field, learn to enjoy your life. Be excited about life. Don't let the problems bog you down. Be joyful as a person who has entered their harvest field. And may the Lord help us that we will not faint, we will not lose heart, we will not be discouraged, we will not run away from the battle, we will have discernment, and that he'll bring us the right partners to help us do what we have to do, that he'll help us to keep our perspective, not to expect from people who cannot deliver what we are expecting. But God will bring us to a harvest field that is designed for us, and it's going to be great in your life. Amen.